Tonight, the death toll is growing as we learn chilling new details about the deadly 4th of July parade shooting in Highland Park, Illinois. Just moments ago, authorities revealed a seventh victim has now died with more than 30 injured. The sheriff says the suspected gunman pre-planned the attack for several weeks. The gunman, armed with a high-powered rifle, firing more than 70 rounds into the crowd from the top of a building. Today, authorities released surveillance images appearing to show him wearing a wig and women's clothing to make his escape by blending in with the crowd. The sheriff describes how they tracked him down, arresting him in his mother's car. Late today, police revealed they had several encounters with the suspect, including an attempted suicide in 2019. They say disturbing posts and videos were discovered on social media. There are questions tonight about why no red flags were raised, possibly stopping him from legally buying at least five guns. Alex Perez and Pierre Thomas are standing by. We're also learning more about the seven people killed, their names made public late today. The 78-year-old grandfather, the beloved wife and mother dedicated to helping her community, and the financial advisor who at 88 was still taking the train every day to work in Chicago. The dead and wounded range in age from 8 to 85. President Biden ordering flags lowered to half staff. Also tonight, more than 40 million under threat of severe storms from Montana to the east. Damaging winds, very large hail, and a new flood watch just issued. News tonight about WNBA star Brittany Griner's handwritten letter to President Biden pleading for help while on trial near Moscow. The White House is now out with a response. Overseas tonight, Russia solidifies its hold in eastern Ukraine, but at a huge cost. Ukraine's military now braces for a renewed Russian assault in the region. Rudy Giuliani and Senator Lindsey Graham are among seven of former President Trump's allies subpoenaed today by a special grand jury investigating possible election meddling in Georgia's 2020 election. The dramatic fire rescue in Indiana, family members trapped on the second floor, jumping into the arms of first responders. And America Strong, a moment long overdue. President Biden awards the Medal of Honor to four Vietnam veterans, declaring, "Today, we're setting the record straight."
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us on this very busy Tuesday night. I'm Lindsay Davis in for David. We begin with a deadly mass shooting at the 4th of July parade in Highland Park, Illinois. The death toll is growing tonight. At least seven people killed, more than 30 wounded. Today, authorities are revealing more about the alleged gunman and the plot that they say he'd been planning for weeks. They released this image saying 21-year-old Robert Cremo escaped through the chaos by wearing a wig and dressing in women's clothing, covering his tattoos and blending into the crowd. Cremo was arrested in his mother's car, handcuffed without incident. Authorities reveal how they tracked him down and what they say they found inside that vehicle. The gunman, armed with a high-powered rifle, firing more than 70 rounds into the crowd from the top of a building. Authorities say they recovered an AR-15-style weapon at the scene. Newly obtained surveillance shows men, women, and children rushing into a store all at once to escape the gunfire. Today, deputies searched the home where he lived with his uncle, where they say they found more handguns inside the house. And late today, the names of the victims were made public, those killed while celebrating America's independence. Still no word on a possible motive. Questions are now being raised after the sheriff said all of the weapons were purchased legally. And new images of the shooting are emerging, and a warning, some of them are disturbing. ABC's Alex Perez is in Highland Park and leads us off.
Tonight, police say the man who unloaded 70 rounds onto an Independence Day crowd, killing seven and injuring more than 30, planned his attack for weeks and carried out the rampage disguised as a woman.
He brought a high-powered rifle to this parade. He accessed the roof of a business via a fire escape ladder and began opening fire on the innocent Independence Day celebration goers.
Sources telling ABC News investigators are poring over social media posts believed to be from 21-year-old Robert Cremo, dating back from over a year ago. One video showing part of the parade route. Minutes after that parade in Highland Park, Illinois, just after 10 a.m. Monday, the cheers turning to screams. Many at first mistaking the gunfire for fireworks. Families running to find safety anywhere they could. Gabriela Martinez says she saw the gunman on the roof.
I was trying to see where it was coming from. And then I looked up at the Ross Cosmetic building, and he was shooting from there.
Mom Abby Brosio was grazed by a bullet, her father-in-law hit in the leg.
My first instinct was, did it hit my child that I'm holding like a rag doll, just running with her, trying to get in, and where is my son?
Brosio running with other families into her husband's store. Her mother-in-law seen here trying to protect her grandchild.
My mother-in-law was crawling into the store over my child, and that was just heart-wrenching to see.
Police say the suspect dressed in disguise so he could blend in with the crowd.
During the attack, Primo was dressed in woman's clothing, and investigators do believe he did this to conceal his facial tattoos and his identity and help him during the escape with the other people who were fleeing the chaos.
New images show the dead covered on the sidewalk while several people tried to save the wounded. Anesthesiologist Dr. Wendy Binstock Rush doing CPR on an older man who didn't make it.
It was just, unfortunately, it was an elderly gentleman. He had lost way too much blood, and there was no way to bring him back.
Five of the victims died at the scene, two at the hospital. More than 30 people were injured, most by gunfire. For hours, this community sheltering in place while teams searched building by building, the rifle left behind leading the ATF directly to Robert Cremo. Police quickly blasting out an alert with a photo of the suspect, the car, and the plate number. About 8 hours after the carnage, police capturing their suspect after a tipster spotted the car.
An alert member of the community saw Cremo's vehicle traveling southbound on Route 41, dialed 911.
Officers surrounding the vehicle, taking him into custody after a brief pursuit. Police discovering another rifle in the car. They say all five guns he had were legally purchased. Tonight, this community is shattered. Illinois' governor outraged.
Mass shootings have become our weekly, yes, weekly, American tradition. There are going to be people who say that today is not the day, that now is not the time to talk about guns. I'm telling you, there is no better day and no better time than right here and right now.
The governor issuing a disaster proclamation today. Alex joins us now from the scene. And Alex, the parents of the suspect are speaking out tonight. What are they saying?
Yeah, Lindsay, they are speaking out. But first, I should tell you that as we speak, prosecutors have announced they are charging Cremo with 7 counts of first-degree murder. Now, his parents did release a statement through their attorney, which reads in part, "This is a terrible tragedy. Our hearts, thoughts, and prayers go out to everybody." Now, authorities here have told their law enforcement partners that Cremo is talking to them and has indicated through statements that he is responsible for the attack. The prosecutor, Lindsay, saying there could be more charges to come. Lindsay?
Alex, thank you. We're learning more tonight about the victims who had simply ventured out to enjoy a parade, the 7 who were killed, the dozens who survived. A community that was trying to celebrate an American tradition quickly falling victim to the American epidemic of gun violence. Here's ABC's Stephanie Ramos.
Tonight, stunned families trying to make sense of the murders of their loved ones who were simply gathering to enjoy the 4th of July in this affluent suburb of Chicago. Nicholas Toledo was 78 years old. The grandfather and father of 8 was a dual citizen of the U.S. and Mexico. His grandson tells us he spent his last days swimming and fishing and being among family. And Jackie Sundheim, a wife and mother. She was the event coordinator and a teacher at her synagogue. The North Shore Congregation Israel writing, "Jackie's work, kindness, and warmth touched us all." Also killed, Catherine Goldstein, Arena and Kevin McCarthy, and 88-year-old Steve Strauss. His family telling the New York Times he still took the train to Chicago every day to his job as a financial advisor. Police now say more than 40 people were wounded in the attack. Lorena Sedano says she started running as soon as she realized gunshots were being fired. After hiding inside a nearby business with other families, she says someone asked her if she was hurt. Lorena telling us in all of the chaos, she didn't realize there was blood all over her ankle and shoe. Bullet fragments still lodged in her leg. 5 of her family members were also injured. She says it is a miracle that she and her family survived.
So many, they are feeling that way today. Stephanie joins us now from the hospital. Stephanie, what's the latest on those injured?
Lindsay, the North Shore University Health System says they treated 39 people at its hospitals after the shooting. Nine people, ranging in age from 14 to 70 years old, remain hospitalized tonight. Lindsay.
Stephanie, thank you. And tonight, the investigation in Highland Park is unfolding at a rapid pace. We're learning more about the alleged gunman and possible warning signs leading up to the attack, including the suspect allegedly threatening to kill people back in 2019. Sources say he was obsessed with death. They describe violent social media posts and images. Here's our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas.
Tonight, stunning new evidence that the suspected Highland Park parade shooter had a history of being suicidal and threatening to kill people before he bought the alleged murder weapon.
A family member reported that Cremo said he was going to kill everyone, and Cremo had a collection of knives.
Robert Cremo III was not arrested that day in September 2019, according to police, but more than a dozen knives, a dagger, and a sword were confiscated.
At that time, there was no probable cause to arrest. There were no complaints that were signed by any of the victims.
5 months earlier, local authorities were notified that Cremo had attempted suicide.
The matter was being handled by mental health professionals at that time. There was no law enforcement action to be taken.
And tonight, the FBI and local police are poring over the alleged shooter's social media footprint. And sources tell ABC News they're finding a disturbing series of posts and videos, also potentially pointing to a day of carnage. According to law enforcement officials, Cremo was active on a range of social media platforms, including Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Vimeo, and Discord. Those red flags on social media apparently never made their way to law enforcement.
We were not made aware of these videos.
ABC News has reached out to social media platforms, and tonight YouTube, Vimeo, and Twitter telling us they're removing the dangerous content associated with Cremo. Despite all these flags, Cremo was able to buy the alleged murder weapon and another rifle discovered in the vehicle when they arrested him, police say. Authorities say legally purchased pistols were also recovered in his home.
They were purchased after that September incident. I don't have the exact dates. I believe it was in 2020 and 2021.
And Pierre Thomas joins us now. Pierre, even with the latest gun reform, it would have done nothing to stop the alleged shooter from buying a weapon?
Lindsay, with all the missed signals we've seen today, from the suspect's suicide attempt to an alleged threat to kill everyone, this troubled person was still able to legally buy guns. I don't know if the new legislation would have made a difference in this case, Lindsay.
All right, Pierre Thomas, our thanks to you. The deadly mass shooting in Highland Park is just one of more than a dozen that took place on the 4th of July. In New York City, nearly two dozen people were shot in 14 separate incidents. At least three people were killed, including a 62-year-old military veteran in the Bronx. And mass panic in Philadelphia after two police officers were shot and wounded at the party on the Parkway, where huge crowds turn out to watch the fireworks. Next tonight, we're tracking severe storms moving across the country. Over the next 48 hours, 40 million people are in the path. Storms stretch from Montana all the way east, including Chicago, Indianapolis, and Cincinnati. Some areas could see damaging winds, hail, and possible tornadoes. Next tonight, WNBA star Brittany Griner's handwritten letter to President Biden pleading for help while on trial in Russia. Griner writing that she's terrified, and now the White House is responding. Here's ABC's Rachel Scott.
It was an impassioned plea from WNBA star Brittany Griner, a handwritten letter asking the president for help. Tonight, the White House insisting her release is a priority.
So I can say that the president did read the letter. He believes that any U.S. national that is held abroad or detained or held hostage abroad, we need to bring back safely, and we are going to use every tool that we possibly can to make that happen.
Griner has been detained for nearly 140 days. In her letter to the president, she writes, "I'm terrified I might be here forever," adding, "Please don't forget about me and the other American detainees. Please do all you can to bring us home." Her wife, Sherelle, calling on the Biden administration to do more.
They are not moving. They are not doing anything. And so my wife is struggling, and we have to help her.
The trial for the two-time Olympic gold medalist is underway just outside Moscow. Griner accused of carrying vape cartridges containing hashish oil, which is illegal in Russia. Tonight, her family is still pushing to meet with the president. The White House providing no indication that will happen.
Is that something that the White House at this point is considering?
I just don't have anything to share on what communication the president's going to have with Mrs. Griner and her family.
The Biden administration does believe that Brittany Griner is being wrongfully detained. Tonight, some supporters are calling for a prisoner swap, and not just for Griner, but also for another American, Paul Whelan. He has been detained in Russia for more than 3 years, Lindsay.
Rachel Scott, our thanks to you. Overseas tonight, Russia is claiming a key victory in eastern Ukraine, but one that is taking a toll on Russian forces. And now Ukraine's military is bracing for a new assault. ABC's foreign correspondent James Longman is in Ukraine for us.
Vladimir Putin has scored an important victory, Lindsay. He's claimed full control of Luhansk. That's one of the two provinces in the Donbass at the heart of this conflict. It has come at some cost, though. Entire neighborhoods have been virtually destroyed. It's likely now that Russia will try to move on to Donetsk. That's the other province in the Donbass. Ukraine, though, perhaps better able to repel that advance. They've now got U.S. HIMARS online. These are the long-range rocket systems provided by the United States. Much more difficult to attack because they are so mobile, but all this is after one of the bloodiest weeks for civilians of this war so far. Lindsay.
All right, James, our thanks to you back here at home. Several of former President Trump's closest allies have been subpoenaed to testify in Georgia. The Fulton County Special Grand Jury issued subpoenas to seven people, including Rudy Giuliani, John Eastman, and Senator Lindsey Graham. The panel is investigating possible criminal interference in the state's 2020 election and efforts to overturn President Biden's win in Georgia. When we come back, additional trouble in the skies as air travelers face more of the same after a holiday weekend of delays and cancellations.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon slash spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an eight-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th. I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon slash spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an eight-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Next tonight, new frustration for millions of Americans returning home after the holiday. Today, more than 5,000 flights were delayed or canceled. In fact, over the course of 5 days, airlines canceled more than 10,000 flights. The TSA says that it screened more than 11 million people over the long weekend. To the index now, a dramatic scene in Indiana where first responders arrived at a building fire and found several people trapped on the second floor. The stairs were engulfed in flames and no one was able to escape. The officers then positioned themselves below, catching the children and adults as they jumped to safety. Once everyone was out, the officers, who are also experienced firefighters, began to battle the flames. Finally tonight, they put their lives on the line, going above and beyond the call of duty. And today, President Biden awarded them with the government's highest military honor. Tonight, four soldiers, four heroes of the Vietnam War honored. Specialist 5, Dwight W. Birdwell from Oklahoma, was in a military installation near Saigon when it was ambushed in 1968. Yet he battled, even after enemy troops blew his gun out of his hands, injuring him, placing himself in danger to protect so many. And today, Specialist 5 Birdwell became the first member of Cherokee Nation in nearly 40 years to earn a Medal of Honor.
I was able to save people, but it also brings honor to the Cherokee people. I did my duty. I served well.
Specialist 5 Dennis M. Fujii from Hawaii, a crew chief aboard a helicopter ambulance. At just 21, Fujii was on his second Vietnam tour. When his helicopter crashed, Fujii insisted his crew be evacuated before him. He wouldn't be rescued for days, receiving a hero's welcome when he got back home to Hawaii, the president praising his humility.
Specialist Fujii downplayed his own contributions, simply saying, I quote, "I like my job. I like to help other people who need help out there."
Major John J. Duffy of New York. He was at Fire Support Base Charlie when it came under enemy fire in 1972. He stayed behind with the wounded, arranging for their rescue. Duffy, already honored with 64 awards and decorations, wearing some of those at the White House today, as he earned one more.
Each of those awards are appreciated, so you're proud.
Staff Sergeant Edward N. Kaneshiro from Hawaii never did make it back home. A father of five, he was a squad leader when his unit came under heavy fire. Sergeant Kaneshiro saving the lives of his platoon. He would die in combat less than 3 months later. His son John going into the Army just like dad. And today he accepted the Medal of Honor on his behalf.
I didn't have that father figure. You know, my family would tell me he was a kind person. I hope I can be like him.
Quite a tribute for true heroes. Thanks so much for watching. I'm Lindsay Davis in New York. For David and all of us in here, good night and have a great evening.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.